This message was recorded March 29, 2015. The speaker is David Simpson.
Let's open our scriptures to the gospel according to John, please. Fourth book of the New Testament, John's Gospel, chapter 12. And then if you'll look toward the end of it to verse 34. So John 12, begin with verse 34, and we'll read to verse 43, and Brother Flavio will lead us.
The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." These things said Esaias when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God.
Let's open our scriptures, please, to the book of Romans and chapter 10, where we've been studying for, a few months. Romans 10 you don't have specific divisions, but you do have what I think we might consider paragraphs. They didn't really break things up into paragraphs, but if we were to look at it that way, it seems to me, beginning with verse 14, goes through verse 17, and that's a paragraph unto itself. So I want you to look with me, please, in verse 14, where Paul asks a series of questions. Notice that each of them begins with how. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, we've studied verse by verse through verse 16, so today we primarily want to focus on verse 17. When you read verse 13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," that's a verse that men use to make an invitation to all men, but I would urge you in your thinking to remember that, number one, that is a quotation from the Old Testament, from the book of Joel. And Joel is not talking about all men generally, but he is talking about whether one is a Jew or a Gentile. And that was new to them. That was new in their thinking. Though it is sporadically seen throughout the Old Testament, for them to consider that God was going to save Gentiles equal to his saving of Jews was radical in their thinking. And the word call, to call upon him, doesn't mean to call upon him to get him to save you, but it's to call upon him in worship. That's the way that word is used throughout the Old Testament and then in the New Testament. So it doesn't mean that one makes, as it's been made to appear, that one makes a decision, calls upon the Lord, and is saved by that. The idea of a sinner's prayer has been set forth by this. But that's not what is meant. Whether one is a Jew or Gentile is what "whosoever" means. He calls upon him in worship. So then you have these series of questions. But really, as he reasons this, he reasons it sort of backwards. Because the first thing is, there must be a preacher. And a preacher must be called of God, he must be prepared of God, and he must be sent by God. We ask, what makes a preacher? Well, while personal study is important, personal study alone, cannot make a preacher. There's nothing wrong with education in my point of view, but education, whether it's college or a Bible college or a seminary, cannot make a preacher. What about another preacher? Can another preacher make a preacher? Well, no more than a preacher made believer is a true believer, is a preacher made preacher a true preacher. A preacher cannot make another preacher, just like he cannot make another believer. It's dangerous and it's deadly to attempt filling the role of a preacher when one is not called, not prepared, and not sent. In the book of Acts in chapter 8, we read the story of a man by the name of Simon. And Simon saw the miracles that were done at the hands of the apostles. And when you look at the apostles, they were unique men called of God with unique abilities to do what God had called them to do, and then those abilities passed away. But here's what it says in verse 18. It says, when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. He wanted to have this himself. Whatever it took is what he's saying. What do I need to do to have this same power? What can I do to bring this about? And I don't know exactly what Peter meant by this. I would like to hear him explain this, but he said, I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. So it's a very dangerous thing for one to set himself or herself in the place or the role of a preacher and not be a prepared and God-called preacher. James said that one who is a teacher faces the greater judgment. So to fulfill that role or attempt to, not called of God, is certainly not a biblical idea. And then the second thing that we see here is that he must preach the gospel. It's not enough for a man just to preach. He must preach the gospel. Paul said, as you know, woe is unto me, that's judgment. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. It's that last object there, the gospel. It's not enough just to preach. We must preach the gospel. Preaching the gospel is the preacher's method. That's our method. And it's the church's program. That's what a true church does. It preaches the gospel. It enables their pastor to preach the gospel. And when you have opportunity as individuals, you declare the gospel to others. Many things call for our attention. Many things. Families, we could study about families until the cows come home. We need to understand about children and how to rear children. Those of you who have young children, you have many questions about how to do this and what you are to do and how to have your children to grow up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. How do I do that? There are many things. Personal relationships. People need to know how to get along with each other. Not only at church, but people at work need to know how to get along with each other. Finances. We could talk about finances. Many things that could be said. I'm not the one to do that for you, but many things could be said about how to keep your finances in control. What about eschatology? The end of things. There are groups of people, churches, that are given over to the study of the end of times. Israel right now is on the forefront of world history. They're out in the front of everything. And in eschatology, men look at that and they go to seed on talking about the end of times. What about social issues, race relations, moral issues like alcohol and drug abuse? Homosexuality today is growing rampantly. There are all kinds of things that could be talked about. World fears. Do you ever watch the news? If you watch the news and you're not afraid of what's going on in the world, you probably need to think again. We could talk about those things. I have someone who sends me something regularly about economic collapse, that they think that the world is right on the verge of economic collapse, and it may be, I don't know. Do you want me preaching about that, talking about that? The world is filled with terrorism. It's on the front page. Are we going to give ourselves over to thinking about that? All kinds of diseases that are around. You face it in school. We face it out in the public. But that's not our program. I made a decision a long time ago that if I'm going to preach and if I'm going to be a pastor, It'll be the pastor of a gospel church. And if I'm going to preach, I'm going to preach the gospel. And I'm not going to be given over to any of these secondary issues, no matter how important they may be. All of these things can be talked about in a small way from time to time. But our program is the preaching of the gospel. The preacher and the people have one message and one method. And that's one of the reasons that now for all these years that I've been here, nearly three decades, we've not had conflict, because our method and our message has been one together, and we all understand what it is. When we come together, you know pretty much what you're going to hear. It's going to have to do with this gospel message, and you'll never be surprised about what you're going to hear. But then the gospel must be heard, not only with the ear, but it must be heard with the heart. When he says this, how shall they preach except they be sent? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You take that all in the context, a man is sent, he preaches the gospel, but it must be heard. And it must be heard not only with the ear, but with the heart. Did you listen to Brother Flavio when he read to us a few moments ago where Jesus said, while you have the light, believe the light. In other words, while I'm here, believe on me. However, most of them were children of darkness, because it goes ahead and John quotes from Isaiah in verse 40, and he says, listen to this now. He says, he hath blinded their eyes, that is God has, and he has hardened their heart, that they shall not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Since a man cannot see with spiritual eyes, and he cannot hear with a spiritual heart, he cannot perceive. These men were in darkness. And then there's another thing. The gospel must be obeyed. When he says, how shall they call in him in whom they have not believed? Go to verse 16. He says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. To hear and to believe with the heart is to both to hear the gospel, to understand the gospel, and to heed that gospel. And the one who is chosen of God from before the foundation of the world, and the one for whom Christ died, when he hears that message, it is irresistible to him, and he says, that makes sense to me. I like that. I've been looking for that kind of an answer. I've been wondering what this book was all about and what this message is about, and that is it. I want to know more. And so people come week after week to hear more and more of the explanation of the glories and the wonders of this gospel. And Isaiah asks the question here in verse 16, who hath believed our report? That's a good question, isn't it? Who has believed our report? Well, the devils don't believe it, do they? They know it, they hear it with their minds, but what did James say? He said they believe and tremble, but they're not believers. There's a hell prepared for them, and they're going there. And those not chosen before the foundation of the world, they can't hear and understand. And Noah's generation, they couldn't hear and understand. Think of that. Millions of people over the world, and God saved just a handful of people in a small boat compared to the rest of the world. God is almighty. He does what he chooses. Who believes? All those whom God calls and shows himself. Now I want to talk with you for a few minutes about verse 17, and then we'll stop. I want you to look at verse 17. This verse isn't exactly what it appears to be, so I want you to look at it with me. Are you up to doing a little word study? Can you do that with me without me losing you too much? Let's try it, okay? Don't you think? You need to think for about 10 or 15 minutes. That's all it'll take us. So then, faith comes. When you come to the word comes, is yours in italics? That means what? It's not there. By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Those first two words, so then, are actually one word. And it's a little word that means therefore, or it could be translated then. So it's translated so then, or it could be translated now. It means consequently. Consequently, it's a transition word or a connecting word to draw a conclusion from what he said in verses 14, 15, and 16. So then, so this is the conclusion. And then you see the word faith. So then, faith. When you see that, what you think is that That means your personal faith. But the word that is there is the same word that he had used just three words before that in verse 16. It's the word report. It's not actually the word faith, which is the Greek word pistuo, but this is the word for report that we studied before. And furthermore, between the word then and before the word as is translated faith, or more accurately report, you know what's there. That's the article that's there. And so he says the report. And when he talks about the report, he's talking about the body of truth that of which God is the author and of which Christ is the subject. Before we leave that thought, I want you to go back with me to what he said to begin the book of Romans. Look back with me to Romans, the first chapter. And if you'll look in verse 1, he described himself as Paul, Romans 1 in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Well, the gospel of God and the report, that's the same thing. Then if you look over in chapter 3 and in verse 3, look down toward the end of verse 3, and you'll notice he refers to the faith of God. The gospel of God and the faith of God and the report are all the same thing. So he says here, so you can go back to our verse then, so then the report, or consequently the report is what that says. He's referring back to this body of truth. He's not talking about personal faith, but he's talking about the report. And then, of course, you know that the word comes isn't there. There's actually no verb here whatsoever. And so it's best to understand this by the word is. So you would put something in for it to make sense, because otherwise we don't quite have an understanding of what this means. So then the report is, and then it says by hearing, but it's not the word by. The Greek word for by generally is the word dia, but this is not dia. This is that little word ek, and that means out of. And I know that I'm confusing you a little bit, but you're thinking with me, so I think you're okay. So then the report is out of. So where I want you to go back with me again to the first chapter to see that. Many of us know this already, but some may not, and it's always good for us to review it. Look what he said in verse 17, for therein, and that goes back to the gospel he spoke of in verse 15, the gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. We could pitch a tent and talk about that, but we won't. And then he said simply, from faith to faith. So he put a prepositional phrase, or two prepositional phrases, two short phrases, together when he said from faith to faith, but it's out of, that word from is this same word back over here, out of faith, and then he said into faith, out of faith and into faith. What does he mean by that? He means out of the faith, out of the settled body of truth, out of the gospel of God, out of the faith of God, out of the report into personal faith. So we sometimes speak of that as one of those as external faith. The faith of God is external outside of us. We can look at it, think about it. We can talk about it. It's the same in the first century as in the 21st century. It's the same in a man as it is in a woman. It's the same for a person, no matter what their skin, or no matter the color of their skin, no matter what their education level is, or how much money you have in the bank. It's the same. It's outside of us, external. We look at it. We can think about it. We can talk about it. Same for everyone. But internal faith is what's inside of me. Mine is unique to me. Yours is unique to you. Your experience is yours. And that's wonderful. Everybody has their own. God calls us all, it's with similar, but also distinctly. So it's out of faith into faith. Well, back over here again, he uses that word right here. So then faith is, or so the report is, out of hearing. Now, what does he mean by that? Out of hearing. Well, again, the word hearing is that same word, report. So really it is, so then, the report is out of the report. That's a funny way of saying it, isn't it? But it's the same thing that he's been saying to us all along, and that is that the faith, the settled body of truth, is out of the report. So we might translate it like this. The faith, or the report, is out of the report. Odd way of saying it to us, but he means that same report is that from which we get the gospel. It was the same for Isaiah as it was for Paul. That's one of the points that he's making. But let's press on just a little bit in this verse. And hearing by the word of God. Now the word hearing, again, is that same word for report. And it's with an article, so it's the hearing. And so the hearing or the report, and then he said it is by, that's by means of the word of God. Let me talk about that last phrase a minute. This word for word here is not the word logos. Many times you hear preachers, you hear me say that word is logos. Remember that? That word logos is a very important word. It's what John described Christ as, that in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. That word is logos. And that is a word that means the expression of thought. Expression of thought. That's not the one that is here. This is the Greek word rhema. And rhema means that which is spoken. So not the expression of thought, but that which is spoken. And he's laying emphasis to the content. So it is by, the report is by the Word of God. I want you to look with me, hold your place there, and go with me over to the book of Ephesians, to your right a little bit. You have your Corinthians books, and then Galatians, and then Ephesians, and look in chapter 6. I want you to see one place where we see rhema. I could show you several places. But if you'll look, please, in verse 17 of the last chapter. It's Ephesians 6 and verse 17. At the end of that verse, or maybe in the middle of the verse, he refers to the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Again, this word is not logos, but rhema. And so he's saying that the Word of the Spirit is the Word of God. It's the Word, it's the content of the gospel, but it's made alive by the Spirit. The Spirit is what makes this Word alive to us. You don't just hear it as a dull hearing and with dull ears. God makes it alive to us in our hearts. So it's the sword of the Spirit, the content of this report. So the word of the hearing by the Word, back to our text now, the Word of God. But there's one more thing I need to show you. It's not the word theos for God, theos, but it's the word kurios, and that's the word for Lord. So it's the Word of the Lord. This is what's called an objective genitive, but it's enough for you to know it's objective. And so that means that it concerns, or it's about the Lord. How is it that this report is spelled out, and how is it that it's declared, and how is it that men come to faith by it? By declaring who Jesus Christ is, what He accomplished, who He accomplished it for, where He is now, what He is doing, declaring all about the glories of the Lord. That's how men come to faith. There's no other way for us to call men to faith. We can frighten men. I listened this morning to a little bit of our radio broadcast. I don't know if you did or not. I'll tell you again, 1380 AM, if you want to listen. Before me, there's a man totally the opposite. He was a hacking preacher. You know what a hacking preacher is? He was a hacking preacher. I didn't understand a word he said. I guess people who are used to listen to hackers, they know what they're saying. I couldn't understand what he was talking about. And then I came on, and there I am just calm and going along and talking about things that I was talking about, and opened up with talking about the sovereignty of grace. I don't have any idea that the hacker would know anything about the sovereignty of grace or be able to talk about. Totally different. What we're to do is to lay out who Jesus Christ is and what he accomplished. My theme of my message today was to talk about Isaac. What I was trying to do was to tell who Christ is by seeing who Isaac is from New Testament eyes. I've been talking about Abraham on there. I've been trying to tell who Christ is by us looking at Abraham with New Testament eyes. Our goal always is to set forth the Word of Christ, this Word about Christ, to explain who he is and tell what he has done. So when you think about these things, let me try to draw this to a conclusion. When I look at verse 14, faith, coming to faith, is providentially ordered. Providentially ordered. Calling upon the Lord follows believing. That's what he says. How shall they call in whom they have not believed? And then believing follows hearing, not only with the ear, but with the heart. And hearing follows preaching. And preaching follows a man being called and prepared and sent. I spent 38 years being prepared to come here and be your pastor. That's what my whole life was all about. I didn't know it. I didn't plan it. Thought my preaching days were over. Never planned to stand up and teach or preach again. Had no idea that that's the way it would be. But God had prepared me to come here to be your preacher, your pastor. And now I've been doing that for over 25 years. So God does that. That's the work of God. It's providentially ordered. The second thing is it is by human instrumentality. There has to be a man to preach the gospel. Notice in verse 15, it doesn't say how beautiful are the lips, how beautiful are the words, how handsome is the face. What does it say? How beautiful are the feet. Now, I can tell you for your sake it's best if I keep my shoes on because you would say that verse is not true. But what he means is that a preacher brings the gospel. He brings glad tidings of good things. I want you to hear a gospel message when you come. Human instrumentality. But here's another thing in verse 16. This matter of believing is limited. We know that right from the start. They've not all obeyed. We know that not only not all obeyed, we know that most. Jesus said that. There are few there be that find it. Most will follow the way that is broad. Few will follow the narrow way of the gospel. So it's limited, but it's not limited by man's will. It's limited by God's will. God is the one who calls whom he pleases, makes himself known to whom he pleases. But many do hear, many do heed, and many do hearken. And so while there are many that don't, there are many who do. And then this last thing, faith is by the word of the Lord. Faith comes by the preaching steadily of that settled body of truth that concerns Christ. If you're looking for a premillennial eschatology church, this is not it. If you're looking for somebody to try to scare you out of your wits about the world we're living in, this ain't the place for you. But if you just want to come and hear about the good tidings of what Christ accomplished, trusting that God would give you faith to believe it, this is the right place. This is the place to come and to hear this gospel message about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus, John 6, had men who followed after him and then they turned away from him. Many who were called disciples said they were. And Jesus said unto the 12, we're told, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered up in behalf of himself and the others, and he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Paul believed that. Paul believed that. And therefore, in his generation, he didn't fight against the Romans. He preached the gospel. He didn't fight against the Jews. When it came time, he couldn't do anything with them. What did he do? Turn to the Gentiles and preach the gospel. That's what it's all about, is preaching the gospel. And by the preaching of the gospel, God conveys faith to the heart. May God give you faith. May God give me faith. May God give us faith to lay hold of the gospel out of the report.